Richard Philippink of Western Illinois University says Kennedy was an inspirational speaker, but he could not get a tax cut bill through Congress, and there's no evidence he intended to de-escalate the war in Vietnam. Philippink also doubts Kennedy would have gotten a civil rights bill approved before his 1964 re-election campaign.
One of the things that Kennedy would have had in his arsenal is if he actually listened to Lyndon Johnson's advice. Johnson was telling Kennedy to make this a public issue, to publicly come out in favor of civil rights, publicly put pressure on the Southerners, and work very hard to cultivate the Republicans. The problem for Kennedy is that he's getting equally compelling advice to cut a deal, that you don't want to have this fight during the campaign, you don't want to tear your party apart during the campaign, so try pass a less extensive bill, try and cut out some of the more, to the Southerners, objectionable pieces of the legislation, and then maybe you won't have to have this fight. I don't know how Kennedy would have got this legislation through Congress. It's not really clear to me that he's got the capabilities to do so.
Is it something he could have put off until a second term?
He had already lost control of the process, though. The House Judiciary Committee was going to report out a bill at the beginning of 1964. It would have come to a full vote in the House. And once it's done that, it's either going to pass in the Senate, or more likely it's going to be filibustered and he's going to have to compromise. And how that impacts the African-American vote is not at all clear.
The Bay of Pigs, would that be the low point of his presidency?
Well, his Gallup poll numbers actually are highest after the Bay of Pigs. I think for Kennedy, the low point of his presidency is probably his meeting with Khrushchev in Vienna, where he feels like that Khrushchev pushed him around and that Khrushchev felt comfortable enough not only to issue an ultimatum on Berlin, but to actually build the Berlin Wall. So that's probably the low point for Kennedy's presidency. Personally, probably the low point is in 1963 when his son died shortly after birth. So he is dealing with that in the fall of 63 as well.
The high point, would that be the Cuban Missile Crisis?
I think it's safe to say, yes, that the image of Kennedy as facing down the Soviets, which effectively eliminates criticism of his ability to handle foreign policy, at least for the next year and a half, is clearly the high point of his presidency.
Would you say his legacy today is really his ability to inspire others?
I think that's the key element of his legacy, that his words and some of his actions inspire a generation of Americans and still inspire a generation of Americans to go out and volunteer, to go out and take action in their communities, and that Kennedy's ability to use words and television define that legacy.
Do you feel his rhetoric eclipses his accomplishments?
I think his rhetoric is far more important than his accomplishments. That if you look at his domestic record, his accomplishments are pretty limited. He does escalate in Vietnam. Even the Cuban Missile Crisis grows out of his attempt to strengthen his domestic political position by revealing that the Soviets are far behind in missile production and almost forces Khrushchev to react. So I think Kennedy's rhetoric and his words and his inspirational ability are much more important than his actions.
Richard Philippink is an associate professor of history at Western Illinois University. He says Kennedy's legacy continues to evolve. That's common for ex-presidents. Philippink points out Harry S. Truman was considered a failure when he left office. Now he's generally considered to have been a strong leader. I'm Rich Egger, Tri-State's Public Radio News.